It's a custom in our country to offer a person who's going to be executed his choice of what he wants to eat for his last meal. I find Christ's choice for his last meal to be quite interesting. He's been trying to tell his disciples for some time that he was going to die, and they refused to believe him. But the scriptures tell us that Jesus knew that his time had come. In fact, John 13, starting in verse 1, it says, it was just before the Passover festival. The Passover festival, of course, is the celebration the Jews were celebrating, leaving Egypt and going to the new country, leaving slavery and bondage behind. Jesus is celebrating the Passover festival with his disciples. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Here we see Jesus at the Passover meal, before his crucifixion, actually stooping and becoming a servant to his disciples. Instead of thinking about what they should be doing for him, about what was due him, he was thinking about them. What he could do for them. And he actually takes the role of the lowest of the low. Jesus took the role that should have been the role of one of the disciples. Usually was the role of the lowest servant in the household. But none of the disciples would stoop that low. They were all above that. After all, they were disciples of Jesus. They weren't servants. Jesus stoops and becomes the lowest of servants. To wash somebody's feet back then was a bit different than washing someone's feet today. We have paved roads and paved sidewalks and cars to ride in, and our feet don't get very dirty. But back then, they got very dirty. They wore sandaled feet. They walked on dirt roads and dirt trails. And the dirt would just puff up around every step. And the feet got dirty very, very readily, very quickly. And it was very refreshing to have your feet washed, that dirt cleaned off. But notice the reaction of the disciples to what Jesus did. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but you will understand later. I want you to notice that verse. They didn't understand what he was doing, but they would understand later. But Peter responds, no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath only need to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. They had no idea what Jesus was really doing. In reality, he was offering them a mini baptism. You know, we've all been baptized. Most of us here have been baptized. But we get contaminated, don't we? We stumble and fall, we sin. And Jesus is saying, you don't need to be completely rebaptized every time you sin. He says, let me wash off the contamination. Let me cleanse your feet. Your feet of clay that so easily stumble into disaster. Let me cleanse you. But he says, not all of you are clean. Referring to whom? Judas. Judas' heart was not touched like Peter's heart. He was ready even then to sell Christ for 30 pieces of silver. In fact, in just a very few minutes, that's exactly where he leaves and goes to. He leaves that supper table to go out to betray Christ. John 13 continues in verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be what? Blessed if you do them. Now that you know what things? It's not just washing feet, but it certainly includes that, right? Now that we know that we should be servants, as our Lord and Savior was a servant to us, we're going to be blessed if we do that. I believe God has called every last one of us to servanthood, to serving others. And the foot washing service is simply a symbol of what he has called us to. And it's not humbling on our part to stoop and wash somebody's feet. It was humbling for God to do that. But it's not humbling for us. Because we are all sinners. We're all contaminated anyhow. Remember the statement Jesus made, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. He's beginning here to begin to unpack that whole thing. Helping them to begin to understand, leadership in the Christian setting is not setting yourself up as better, as more important, as more powerful. It's rather humbling yourself and becoming a servant to all. That's what Jesus wants us to learn from his example. But there's more. It is for this reason that we do what Jesus told us to do. He says, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. For some of you here today, this is a brand new experience. Very few churches practice foot washing. It's not convenient. It's not easy to do for a whole big group. You know, so why bother with it? Isn't it just the idea that counts? Can't we just talk about it? Well, some of you don't even talk about it. But Jesus wants us to experience it. And there's something about the tactile experience of touching and feeling and doing that really is important for us. To be able to experience the humility. But back to that upper room with his disciples for just a few more minutes. He's just rebaptized them all. Now they are cleansed and they are ready to participate in what is the most holy of all of the sacraments left for us by Jesus. It's what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. Reading there in Matthew 26:26 says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. So what does he mean when he says, this is my body? Was it literally Jesus' body that he was passing out there? No, he was still very much alive, wasn't he? He was still very much there in person. He's saying, this bread represents my body. It represents the life that I have lived with you. And I want you to remember every time you eat bread that I came and lived my life here for you. Remember every time you eat bread. And that's not just here at the communion supper. I believe Jesus is saying every time you have a meal and you are eating bread, I want you to be reminded of the life I lived for you. Yes, we think a little more about it here as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. But I think Jesus meant literally that every time you eat, remember what he's done. Be thankful for what he has done. Reading on there in Matthew 26, verse 27, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now again, it was not literally his blood. It was grape juice. It hadn't been changed. It wasn't blood or didn't come from his veins literally. But it represented the sacrifice that he was just about ready to make. This is his last supper. Again, it wasn't a supper for his gratification. It was a supper that he was giving to us. Jesus was always giving. Have you thought about what it will mean to drink the cup with God in heaven? Notice the next verse. He says, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus is abstaining until we're together with him. He says, I'm not going to drink it again, but I want you to drink it. I want you to do it in remembrance of me. As often as you do this, think about me. Won't that be a wonderful day when we can sit with him at the table? It won't be a little tiny thing like this. It won't be a little thimbleful of grape juice and a little sliver of bread. We're going to have a banquet feast with Christ. And it's going to be a great celebration. And I don't think it's going to be just one time. I think we're going to do that throughout eternity with him as we feast together with our Lord and Savior in the new world. But just what will it be like? Jesus is looking forward with great anticipation. I think his mouth's watering, waiting for that drink to happen. He wants to participate with us. This is what Christ chose for his last meal before his death. He wanted to give it special and significant reminders of what he was not only willing to do, but what he actually did to purchase us back from bondage and slavery to sin. So following the example of our Lord, as he asked us to, we participate in the foot washing service as a preparation or as a cleansing service, a mini baptism, if you please, so that we can come in before the table and before the Lord with clean hearts, renewed spirits.